Thank you, Church. God's laid something on my heart to talk to you this morning, and I'll be getting into that in a minute, but can you tell me what we call today, apart from Sunday, all you smart people, apart from Sunday, anybody know what this Sunday's called? Apart from that? You know. It's called Low Sunday. Did you know that? No. Low Sunday. I just was looking and said, well, is there something about this Sunday which we need to celebrate or whatever? It's called Low Sunday because in the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church, they have a high feast on Easter Day and they have no low feast today. So that's what it's all about. That's why they call it. But it's all interesting enough, when I was looking at this, there are two other names for it. One is called St. Thomas Sunday, because they believe that's when St. Thomas doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead. And here's the one which I love. It's also called Quasimodo Sunday. And you might think, why is it called Quasimodo? It's nothing to do with Notre Dame and that sort of stuff. It's because in the Latin service, which they use used to use in the Anglican and the Catholic churches, the introit, which some of you might know what that is, starts off in saying, quasi modo genitae infantes, which means it's as if newborn babies. So they've called it Quasimodo Sunday, the first two words there. So there's a bit of trivia you've learnt today, and I hope you can keep that in your mind and remember it. When somebody says, what is today? You can say, it's Quasimodo Sunday. Okay, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you do. I thank you for your love for us. And Father, I just thank you that you speak to us. You speak to us through your word. You speak to us in many ways. And let's pray now, Lord, that the words that I speak will not come with human wisdom, but with the demonstration of your spirit and with power, that your name will be glorified. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a passage from the scriptures. It's not on the, don't panic, Brian, it's not up there, don't worry. it's a different, slightly different translation, so I'll read it myself. It's from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 17. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. We have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, or we celebrated the resurrection. I want to continue that theme this morning, and as you'll see, I think I want to talk about the resurrection life. The resurrection life. The resurrection is, I believe, one of the fundamental keystones of our faith. If we don't believe in the resurrection, as Paul says, our faith is useless. It's a fundamental thing that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive now and he's with his Father. We serve a living Savior. He's there. He's not a wooden idol or anything like that or any other person. He is alive. And he died to live, as someone said. He died that we might live. And that's the thing about it. The resurrection of Jesus is so that we might live. In 2017, there was a survey in Britain, and they asked a lot of questions. And one of the questions they said was, do you believe in the resurrection? 25% of people who said they were Christians said no. 25% said no. And I was reading another article by a person called Tom S. Rayner, who's a gentleman from America, a pastor from America. especially for James, this is. And he attended when he was became a pastor, when he was going to be a pastor, he attended the Southern Baptist Theological... James will stand up to attention now. The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he said he discovered something quite amazing. Several of the professors who were teaching them did not believe in the resurrection. Several professors who were teaching them did not believe in the resurrection. And he said it really threw him. It threw his faith because he was wondering, how can they be teaching about Christianity if they don't believe in the resurrection? And I won't go through it all, but if you read through and you look at all the documents, there's a lot of evidence, physical evidence, actual natural evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Very quickly, the Roman soldiers were experts at crucifying people. They made sure people were dead. When Jesus was put in the tomb, a great big stone was rolled across, and soldiers were guarding it. And it didn't matter what happened, Jesus rose from the dead. He was seen by the disciples. Now you might say, well, they got a bit of a bias. Okay, but he's also seen by 500 people and more. And as somebody said, a few people might have a vision, but 500 people at once aren't likely to see the same thing. And I read a story where the Lord Chief Justice of England, who was the chief legal expert, he analysed it and he said, on any evidence, the court of law, you have to say this occurred on any basis at all. So I believe it's very true. And there's a story I heard about William Carlyle, who's the head of the Church Army in the UK, which is an organisation obviously like very much like the Salvation Army, but a church army. And he was preaching in an open air service out in Hyde Park. And he was saying, Jesus is alive. And the heckler stood up and said, how'd you know? He said, well, I was talking to him this morning for half an hour. And that shut the heckler up anyway. But I want to just focus on three things this morning. You've got a 3-point message. How about that? It's must be a first, I think. But I want to read that verse again. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. So what does it mean for us? What does it mean that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is alive today? The first point I want to say is that I believe the resurrection reveals his love. It's going to be hard, this, all the R's. The resurrection reveals his love. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus gave up his life willingly for us. That showed his love for us. And he rose from the dead. And that again shows his love for us, because by rising from the dead, he has conquered sin. He's conquered sin and death, which means we have that's his love shown to us and what he wants for us in our lives. And those of you who have been reading the Bible in 1 year will have seen a little story in the week about a little girl who was really seriously ill, had a very serious incurable disease, and the doctors didn't know how to cure it. And the little boy, her little brother, had it before, and he had miraculously recovered. So the doctor said, well, he must have antibodies, so if we took his blood and did a transfusion into the little girl, hopefully she will survive as well. So they went up to this little boy who was only about 5 years old and said, would you give your blood for your sister? And after a few moments thought, he said, yes, I will. So they did the transfusion and they watched, and the little girl recovered. And it was like almost a transfusion. I don't know how they did it, but it was almost like simultaneously. And they watched the little girl, and the colour seemed to come back into her face. And the little boy looked at the doctor and said, with a very solemn face, "Will I die now?" Because he thought they were going to, as he's taken his blood, he wouldn't live because he'd given it to his sister. Now, whether it's a true story or not, that's what was said there, we don't know. But that showed that little boy is willing to die. It showed his love for his sister that he was willing to die. But Jesus died and rose for us. His whole life embodied love and compassion. His whole life embodied it. He healed people. He fed people when they were hungry. He cared for people. He just looked after the poor. He did everything in love. He even said to his disciples, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. When I go from here, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so you won't be alone on the earth." So in his resurrection and ascension, he cared for his disciples so much that he's got the Father to send the Holy Spirit for us. His life, the resurrection reveals God's love to us and reveals Jesus' love for us, that he died and rose again. He went through all that for us. All that for us. And he loves us. Jesus loves us. Do you know that? Well, tell someone next to you, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. It's a wonderful thing. We should be telling ourselves more that Jesus loves us. Now look in the mirror every morning and say, "Jesus loves me." Start your morning with love, Jesus love in our hearts. And we're called to love one another as he loved us. If you look at John chapter 15, it tells us we're called to love one another as he loved us. So the resurrection reveals his love to us. Second point, the resurrection restores our relationships. The resurrection restores our relationships. Because of the Garden of Eden and what happened at the Garden of Eden, our relationship with God was completely severed. Remember in the Garden of Eden, they used to walk along with God, talking to him and having a chat and, you know, having a bit, chewing the cud or whatever, not the apple, but chewing the cud, and just sort of saying to him, how are you going, etc., etc. But then sin came and bang, he cut them off. It wasn't acceptable. The relationship with God was like broken. And the resurrection of Jesus restored that broken relationship. It was restored at the cross and the resurrection. And if we accept that forgiveness for our sins, our relationship with God is restored through the resurrection, through what Jesus did at this Easter time we've been looking at. Romans 8 verse 2 says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." We've been set free from all that stuff if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus sets us free through his death and his resurrection. And in 1 John 5, verses 11 to 12, it says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." So if we accept Jesus because of his resurrection, we have life. We have eternal life. We have that relationship with God. We have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit because of what the resurrection means. The power of the resurrection brings us into that eternal life. It's an eternal resurrection, eternal life with God because of the resurrection. When I was thinking about this originally, I kept getting this phrase in my mind. And I really didn't know what it was all about, and I didn't end up talking about it. But the phrase which came into my mind continually for about a few days was, "You only live twice." And you know that's a film. In case if you don't know, it's a James Bond film, "You Only Live Twice." And I was thinking, well, what on earth is that? Why? But then I was thinking about this, and I think, yes, we are going to live twice, folks. We're going to live once on this earth, and we're going to live in heaven forever. We're going to live twice. And I suppose that's what I was being told. I don't know. I had all this thing of putting sort of big movies on the big sort of theme things on there and Kay was looking at great pictures to put on the front of the Messenger for You Only Live Twice, but we decided it wasn't quite going to be shown. Anyway, but we can live twice because of what Jesus did, the resurrection of Jesus. We have eternal life. When we die, we will then go to heaven and we will have eternal life with Jesus, with Jesus and God, our Father, forever. Ever. That's what eternal means. And just as a digression, don't forget, when we're in heaven, we'll be worshipping. We'll be worshipping Him continually. So let's start practicing here. We need to continually worship because we practice here for what we're going to do in heaven when we get to heaven. And that resurrection, the relationship, I believe it heals more than just our relationship with God. It will heal our relationships with each other. The power of the resurrection heals relationships. If we have a broken relationship, we can be healed. That can be healed through the power of the resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we haven't got a relationship with God, we can start one anytime. We can start one now. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then today is a good day to do it. You can say, yes, Lord, I want forgiveness for my sins. Thank you for what you did. Thank you died and rose again that I might have this relationship with you and this eternal life. So it's a time when we can do that. So the resurrection restores our relationships. And number three, you're counting Peter, I know. This number three. The resurrection revitalizes us. The resurrection revitalizes us. Let me read to you a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Because of the resurrection, we have resurrection power in our life. Because of the resurrection, we have resurrection power in our life. And I don't know about you, I find that awesome. I find that absolutely amazing that God would entrust me with the power that raised Jesus from the dead to do that, to use that in doing his work. And I was thinking of this and I was thinking, well, I expect some of you might like to drive a Formula One racing car. Oh, I would. I'd like to have a go. But I don't think they'd even let me near it. Because to drive one of those, you've got to really know, you've got to be really, really trained because it is so difficult to drive, as I understand it. I've never tried it, but so difficult to drive that you can really mess the whole thing up. And you know, by just blinking your eyes, you'll be down the road. You'll be down sort of in the city centre in 5 seconds or something. They wouldn't let me near. They wouldn't entrust me with that power, that car. But God has entrusted us with that power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Just think about it for a moment, guys. Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought about what that is? It is amazing. Absolutely amazing. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and lives in me. We can be revitalized by that power. It's an awesome truth. I just sometimes wonder, sit there and wonder and thinking, wow, this is quite amazing. And Jesus said, we will receive that power. Acts chapter 1, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. So our lives are revitalized by that. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have that resurrection power in our lives. We can allow him to fill us with that power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. It didn't say, you'll receive power and you will sit comfortably in church and enjoy the worship and enjoy the message sometimes. And you'll go and have lovely fellowship afterwards and you'll go out and off you go on the rest of your life. No, it says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and all the ends of the earth. And it's a commandment to us. We are commanded because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to live a revitalized life in Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. Empowered to be obedient. We are called to be empowered to be obedient to him, his command. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Go into all the world. Then he says, if you receive this revitalizing power, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. That's what the resurrection power is all about. And that's why Jesus died and rose again, that we can be his servants. We can do what he wants us to do. We want a power to be obedient, to be a witness, and to do all the things that Jesus did. To have our lives transformed. Our lives transformed. The Christian lifestyle is not an add-on. It's not something we add on to our normal life. The Christian lifestyle is a life. It is a revitalized life. It is a transformed life. It's not something we sit down at the beginning of the week and go, now what am I doing this week? Okay, I'm doing this. I've got to go to work. Yeah, I've got a meeting there about the tennis club. I've got to go to this parents' meeting. Oh, yeah, I've got to go to church on Sunday morning. I'm going to the football in the afternoon. That's not a Christian life. The Christian life is a lifestyle. Everything we do is to reflect Jesus' life, reflect his love to everyone. It's a priority. Jesus is a priority in our lives. All these other things are good. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't sit down and plan our week. But when it comes is, do I watch this serial on television? Or do I go to a connect group or prayer meeting? The answer is Jesus. We need to be showing our willingness to learn and be with our fellow Christians. But not only that, we need to be willing to witness wherever we are. Wherever we are, it's a lifestyle. Does my life reflect that I'm a Christian? At work, do people know you're a Christian? Does your life at work reflect that? I know nowadays at work you can't really say anything because of all the political correctness and all that sort of stuff, but you can live a life. You don't have to laugh at some of the smutty jokes. You don't have to get involved with stuff which you don't want to get involved in. You don't have to do that. I mean, some people stand up at their workplace and they quote the scriptures and they get thrown out of their job almost. No, we'll wait and see about that one. Mr. Falau perhaps is an example of someone who stood up for his lifestyle. His lifestyle is Jesus Christ. That's his number one priority. And he's willing to give up his whole career for Jesus, for what he says. That's living a lifestyle of being a Christian. And that's being in resurrection power, revitalizing us all. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And somebody said, what that really is saying is, don't be a chameleon Christian. Don't be a chameleon Christian. Which means, if you're a Christian, you're in a certain place, you act like that. If you're in another place, you act like this. If you're in another place, you act like this. That's not what it's about. We are to live the lifestyle wherever we are, so that people know we are a Christian. And I think it's interesting, we sometimes, I think, have fear. We sometimes are frightened. We don't do it quite as much now, but we used to regularly have dinner with all our neighbours. And it used to be quite interesting because we'd be sitting around the dinner table and the number of times somebody would say to me, what do you think about so-and-so? Now, I could just give a nice little explanation, or I could say, well, I believe the Bible says about so-and-so. And the interesting part was, We used to have a very just normal discussion around the dinner table. The conversation used to stop at the other end, obviously, and they would join in. But there was no sort of antagonism, no sort of, it was just, what do you think? Because I believe if we really boil down to it, you look at all the things that happen in this world nowadays, people are searching. People are searching for things. They're looking for truth. They're looking for a base foundation where they can base their life on. It's all shaky at the moment because all the values have seemed to have been kicked away. But we have a firm foundation, which is Jesus, the rock. And we should be talking about it. I read a quote from R.T. Kendall, who's a well-known pastor in the UK and also in America. And he quoted, this is a quote in a book I was reading. Buildings are buildings. Churches are transformed lives. Buildings are buildings. Churches are transformed lives. And I think that's a very, very profound statement. We're called, we say we're a church. The church is us, not this. So what he's saying is, the church is transformed lives, which is us. Are our lives transformed? Are they the life that Jesus wants? We talk about revival. Revival didn't come to a building. Revival came to people who were revitalized and wanted to be revitalized. If you look back in the history of revivals, I've done a lot of reading about them. You look at for example, the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles. God came and poured out his power in that place to revitalize the whole city and the nation. And that place was a rundown weatherboard place in a rough area of Los Angeles, which you probably wouldn't look twice at if you walked past. You'd probably be scared to walk in, it might fall down. You look at the Hebrides, remote little island, little basic church, where God poured out a revival. The whole island was changed. And it was just in a little tiny old building. I had the privilege once of going to Wales, and I was went to where a church where the Welsh Revival occurred. And it was just an ordinary church, nothing fancy. Not some big mad palace or great big incredible church. God poured out his power in Toronto in Canada. And it started in a little place, a room just over a supermarket in a shopping centre. Right at the end of the main runway at Toronto Airport, when all the jumbo jets took off, the whole place was shaking. But God poured his power out and the church was revitalized. The world church was revitalized because of what happened in that place. And it's the repercussions of what he did there are still being felt now around the world. We are the church. God wants our lives to be revitalized. Yes, we're doing lots of things. We're doing lots of good things. But I believe he wants us to go further. He wants us to have our lives revitalized with his resurrection power. Because that revitalized life is fantastic. It allows God to really pour out his power and really pour out all he wants to do. We can do lots of things in our own strength, our own organization, everything else. You know, we've got our minds, we've got intelligence, we can do it all. But when God does it, it's radically different. It is radically different. I was only reading this week of about 25 people who had their lives were revitalized. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They went and planted a church in a place. 25 people in 2016. In 2017, they had 750 people attending that church, and 113 people had come to faith in Jesus Christ in that 12 months. 25 people changed that city, changed that neighborhood. That's an average of two a Sunday, roughly. But 115 people, they had 30 connect groups running after 12 months. Why? Because they were revitalized. They allowed the revitalizing resurrection power of Jesus to drive what they were doing. That revitalizing life helps us to live that abundant life. Jesus said, I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you living an abundant life now? Or are you thinking, oh, whew, I don't know how much more I can cope with this life. It's terrible what's come against me. You don't need to do that, guys. We can live an abundant life in Jesus. He said, I have come, you might have life and have it more abundant. That more abundance means superabundance. Doesn't mean a little bit, it means superabundance. And we can have that. We may be going through hurts. We may be going through sickness or whatever it is. Jesus can heal that through the power of the Holy Spirit. A revitalized life sets us free from the past. It sets us free from all those things that have happened and are causing us now to have these problems in our lives. It sets us free from tradition, religion, control, agendas. And dare I say it, our church becomes his church. Our church becomes his church. And that's what it's all about. It's his church. I know this is challenging. But today, let's step out of the past. Let's step out of the past. If you're living in your past, step out of it today. I really encourage you to do that. Step out of it. All the things which have happened in your life, all those things which have hurt you, the anger, all that stuff, the trauma, which you've never got rid of, it's just been there, you've never actually got rid of it. Step out of it and live the abundant life. The Holy Spirit can set you free. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ can give you a resurrection life, which is a wonderful life living in that power and love. He will give you life for death. He will give you healing and release for brokenness. I've seen it happen in so many people's lives. So many people's lives have been changed just like that. Can't make it work. By allowing the resurrection power of Jesus to come upon them and set them free. It's wonderful. As I said, you know, we may be working hard. For years and years, I've been a Christian for 72 years. And for years, well, not 72 years ago, but for a long time, I was working very hard in the church, doing all sorts of things, and there almost every night of the week, and Sundays, etc., etc., doing all sorts of jobs in the church. And it wasn't until 26 years ago that I realized the resurrection power of Jesus would do something different. And it did. My life totally changed, and the way I worked in the church was quite different. And I lived an abundant life in Jesus Christ. And I've been trying to live that abundant life ever since. And I've been enjoying it. It's a wonderful change. Does it mean you don't have problems? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But what it means is you can deal with the problems easier because you have God's resurrection power in your life. This morning, let's step out. Step out. Let him fill you with that resurrection power. Receive his forgiveness if you've never received that forgiveness. Experience a changed life. Start living an abundant life from today. Walk out of this place rejoicing because you're living a new abundant life. Don't go from here the same. Don't go from here the same. You don't need to go from here the same if you've got all sorts of things happening. There's a very old song which we sometimes sing. We don't sing it, but it's been sung for a long time. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. Because the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. And I would say, you don't need to leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Because he can set you free. Let the resurrection life revitalize our lives this morning. Transform our lives this morning. Let us be passionate about living a Jesus lifestyle. Let it be a Jesus lifestyle, not a Jesus add-on. And let him daily reveal his love to us. Let him daily restore the relationships. And let him daily revitalize our lives. in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just pray a minute. I believe God has been talking to people here this morning. I believe there are people here this morning who are hurting for what's happening in the past. Whatever it is, a trauma or something which has happened to you. You've got anger or whatever. And I believe the Holy Spirit has been challenging you this morning. In fact, I know the Holy Spirit's been challenging people here this morning. And he really wants to set you free this morning. I really want to see people set free. It's such a joy to see what happens. I know some people in this church have been set free. And the joy in their life is amazing to see. But this morning, I just want to offer you the opportunity to get rid of these things. To start living a new life. Be revitalized. Know his love in a new way and live an abundant life. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to come down here now. We're going to sing our final song in a moment. And if you'd like to receive some prayer for that, whatever reason, or you want to receive prayer to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, to be set free from things, to go out from here rejoicing and living an abundant life, a revitalized life. And after we sung the song or during the song, just come and sit in the front row and I'd love to pray with you afterwards. I would love to see God change your life if you want to. It's entirely up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to me making you, challenging you, trying to make you do it by what I say. But it's the Holy Spirit just saying, hey guys, I want to pour my love into your hearts and set you free this morning. I want to see you revitalized in a different person. So if you want to do that, then I invite you, as I say at the end, I've got plenty of time. I'm not rushing away for anything. It would be a real pleasure and a joy to speak with you. If you're not comfortable with that and you want to see me privately or some way, then I'm happy to organize that as well. So let's just pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and guide us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and just challenge our hearts this morning afresh. Father, I just thank you that you are challenging people here this morning. I thank you that you're speaking love into people's hearts and just saying, I want to set you free. I want to release you from all those things which are coming against you. I want to heal you, and I want to see you living the abundant life. Thank you that that's what you want. So, Father, I just ask for boldness now that people will step out and receive that love and that power and that relationship which you give. And we will give you the praise and we'll go from here rejoicing. Rejoicing in our wonderful Savior who has risen from the dead and is alive now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Can you lead us in the last song, please?